You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 6, Episode 19. The growing jealousy among Warren, Andrew, and Jonathan gives Buffy an opportunity to stop them from robbing an armored car, but Warren returns to exact a deadly revenge.
Dun dun dun.
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And Rachel just hung up by mistake.
Oh, Rachel. I didn't bring her back.
Wow. And that was Rachel.
We're off to a roaring start. I swear I didn't ban her.
I did. No, I'm kidding.
I don't think you have that power. Hi,
Oh.
everyone. We're back. Did you
Hey.
miss us?
Seeing red, is everybody happy?
Yes.
You have your
It's
wish.
so
She's
wrong.
dead.
It's so wrong. But
What's so wrong? As a
I
fictional character that I found
Sorry.
annoying
Rachel.
and
Sorry.
her demise.
I gasped and then I grinned because I'm evil.
Yeah.
Well, if I had been doing a video commentary, you may have seen my O face. Not when Tara got shot, but when Willow's eyes turned red. Yes, I can't wait. It is as I have foretold it to be.
Okay, can you
Willow turning
confirm
evil
you've
because Tara is dead. Willow will blame Buffy, and Willow will kill Buffy, and Willow will be the master of the universe.
Okay, now confirm you've
Wow.
never saw the series before. You weren't spoiled, you just figured it out. Right?
I wasn't spoiled, and I didn't necessarily figure anything out, but I really wanted. So if I would say anything, is that it wasn't so much me trying to figure it out, it was just a wish. I really wanted this because in my mind, in my heart, which is beating in my chest right now, it would be the greatest possible thing to have a super awesome, powerful witch be at odds with her best friend Slayer. And of course, it was going to be due to Tara. That's the only thing that could turn true friends against each other, right? A love dying. And then when Tara and Willow broke up, I kind of lost faith. And then she's going to get off the magics. And I was like, oh, this is terrible TV. I don't like this at all anymore. And then all of a sudden, you have a little red on you. Was fantastic. No, I was not spoiled on this at all. I've been spoiled on something else we haven't seen yet. But I will let you know when I feast my eye on it.
I was semi-spoiled on this about a year ago.
No.
I knew that Tara was going to die. I didn't know how, because someone wrote something on their Facebook, and I was just going through the threads, and someone said something about her dying, and I
You want to stay away from that evil Facebook.
was like, no. Yeah, so I've learned to turn off people's notifications and stuff and whatever, but I knew it was coming. I didn't know when. I had a feeling it was coming up now because there was a lot of foreshadowing to it because of them, one, getting back together and being so uber happy. And I was like, as soon as something good happens, the absolute worst is going to come and bring them crashing back down to
Yeah, that's
reality.
just like recently on The Walking Dead. There are two people who are just
No spoilers.
too happy,
No so. Spoilers, please.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I felt it. Okay, it's gonna happen. And then the comment. Did you post did you post any of the commentaries I did, Illyrio?
I posted the one for
Entropy.
The last one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I haven't done yours for Seeing Red. Have you sent that to me already?
It's at my computer at work. I didn't have a chance to upload it because I wasn't connected to the internet when I recorded it. But anyways,
okay, cool.
The last one I did, I kind of was just like, I felt like I was bored watching it. I'm like, oh, this is all ramping up to when someone's going to die. Obviously it's going to be Tara. And you can hear it in my commentary. It's just like, guys, I'm so bored. I'm sorry. You have to listen to me talk about how much I hate this episode. And then when this episode, spoiler alert, you're going to hear me go on a rant for about 15 minutes about gun control laws in the U.S. but other than that, I was shocked because I thought it was going to be like a confrontation thing. And I knew that I had a feeling that Tara would get caught in the crossfire somehow, but not like this. Not
it
like
was
this.
So
at
out of left
all.
Field. It was yeah. so amazing. It totally took me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I screamed and people were like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." But just watching Buffy. But holy shitballs, I did not see that coming at all.
Neither did I. It was glorious.
It was. And then have I kept you all... thinking, oh, great, no more Tara. But in a bad way.
Yay!
Have you guys all seen Serenity? I can't remember if you have or not.
Yes, I have.
I've seen Firefly and Serenity. In fact, what? I watched Serenity, then Firefly, then Serenity, then Firefly, then Serenity.
Yeah, that was kind of me.
Me too. Yay.
What's because a Serenity?
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Serenity now.
I just thought that there was a similar death in Serenity to this one.
Oh, yeah. It's too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Way
too soon.
All right, yes. So Amber Benson was in credits as a main cast member for this episode.
Womp, womp.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, guys, just got a notification on my iPhone 6. Buffy Summers commented on your video, "Numfar, do the dance of joy." We're awful people. So is this everyone's favorite Tara moment?
Yes! Oh my god, I'm so fucked up! I've been waiting
I'm serious,
for this
like,
to come true.
Steph, Rachel, mm-hmm. In the fandom, is this everyone's favorite Tara moment, usually?
No!
No!
No! Everybody... Oh...
Does everyone especially... love her?
Yes.
Yes. Most people.
Why? She's so annoying.
Not my friends.
when they were doing the research in the bed and being all cutesy with each other, I was like, this needs to stop immediately. Like, I can't do this anymore.
Don't you mean you were all like, unacceptable?
No, I was just like, I'm over this. I can't deal with this. I didn't like how, well, I understand for the purpose of the story, yeah, but how quickly they just literally jump back into bed with each other. I was like, come on.
Yeah, when they did the previously on and they brought back the, well, you know, we have to work through stuff and blah, 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 just kiss me now. I can't not roll my eyes.
They didn't work through anything.
They didn't work, no. It's like, okay, just kiss me and let's bang. All right.
Yeah.
Everything is cool now. Don't worry about it.
Well, and this is a very controversial death because, like, as far as a lesbian character being killed, it's very what am I trying to say? It's very controversial because
what?
In most things, because lesbian characters are killed as like a punishment.
Well, I see what you mean.
Oh, no.
I didn't go there at all.
I understand, but that's not why she died.
No, I didn't go there at all.
To turn Willow into evil and glorious and beautiful and gorgeous and perfect in every way.
It was cool to turn her evil.
It was too much. And then when fucking Dawn was applauding them banging, I was like, stop this.
Yeah, that is kind of
I just was not about that.
I'm a big fan of you know, people applauding me having sex as much as the next person, but that was too much.
leave me alone. Ugh, whatever.
I have the soundboard app on my iPad for a reason, people. Laugh tracks aplenty.
Oh my god.
Okay. So the trio, they go to
bring
this.
Me back, please.
Okay, they go to this cave to steal the orbs of this demon, then to have his power. Nope, Nezlacon or something like that.
That orb's still at my mother's house.
Oh, let me ask you this. Okay, I have really did. And I may need to save this for the next episode. I'm not really sure. You know, Jonathan and Andrew are like, did Warren actually put them against each other? Or is this all in their imagination? Because we never really saw Warren do that.
Except that Jonathan didn't get a flying machine.
He didn't get a jetpack.
That's true.
I don't think that they're necessarily against each other. Oh, you mean when they kept bickering back and forth, like calling each other names?
Yeah, Jonathan doesn't trust Andrew, and Andrew has like fallen in love with Warren.
Yeah.
And is jealous of Jonathan.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. If Warren did that, it was all off camera. Mm-hmm. Or they filmed it and decided to keep it out. Because it was for editing purposes.
We saw Warren whispering with Andrew quite a bit about how they were going to cut Jonathan off.
Yeah.
I think that was just in this episode, right? Like, it wasn't a thread throughout the trio's.
The episode where they killed Katrina, there was quite a bit of back and forth.
Oh, they did? Oh, yeah. I don't remember.
Jonathan was definitely very much against it, and they were all like, "Oh no, he's bad. Ooh, let's keep him in the quiet."
Yeah. So, Nezla demon. Guarding the orbs of Nezlacon.
Nezlacon.
Yeah, so Warren and Andrew make Jonathan wrap himself in the dead Nella's skin to cross the barrier. Like, that's really, you know, that's really shit work.
Never seen that before.
Dirty work.
Disgusting.
Come
on. Yeah. So after that, they go to the bronze. And what is so hilarious is Andrew's huge fruity drink.
Stop it. That was so great.
It's pretty awesome.
I see it right now. Awesome. It looks delicious. I want one.
That was a great little reveal. It did make me chuckle.
Okay, so Buffy is fighting this vampire, and he knocks her into a headstone, and she's hurt, and she goes home to take a bath. And then Spike comes in.
All right, let's.
I don't
want
to talk about this.
Let's discuss. Okay. Let's discuss. This is the worst scene.
I'm gonna watch it right now. This is horrible.
I think it's the entire series. This is the worst scene in the entire series for me.
Because I'm like, what the hell is going on? I don't understand why he's doing that. But then I'm like, oh yeah, because they were into rough sex, and like right. he probably thought that she was playing.
Yes.
And then I was like, this is just too much for me to handle right now. How are children watching the show handling this?
All I'm going to say is Spike is lucky he's not working for the National Canadian Broadcaster.
Nah.
OMG.
And that I was really immediately turned off at Spike. For me, from this point forward, I have no more time for Spike. None. Done.
That was his Xander Harris moment for you?
Yeah, listen. This is it. Like, you don't get to do that ever.
Ever.
So there.
I think
that's it.
A lot of the fandom would recognize this moment as the writers going, oh crap, he's bad. Forgotten. In season 6, he's getting all smooshy and lovey-dovey and And they had to sort of ramp it back and go, oh, wait, he's a soulless vampire. Shit. Ah! And this is the
but
best
how
thing
could
with.
He... How could he not recognize that he was hurting her because he's got that chip in his head, right?
It doesn't work.
No. Remember we established early on in the season?
Sorry. That's right.
Yeah.
But,
so there's a weird immunity between them.
But he hasn't got a conscience. He's a vampire without a soul. He hasn't got a conscience.
Yeah, which explains, it's so, but he's nice to Dawn and he wants to help, but it's, he's not being altruistic. He's being very selfish the whole time. That's all it is. And he's a jerk.
And I know
the
I read
rapey,
this somewhere,
rapey jerk.
Or maybe I imagined it, but I believe that, okay, the magic is drugs addiction metaphor came from one of the writers had a problem with substance abuse. And I think this came from one of the writer's experience too.
Oh, okay.
So, but it is kind of distasteful, but the point is Buffy was able to tell him no. She has enough self respect or whatever to say enough is enough. I'm saying no.
But she didn't stake him through the heart. He's a vampire who's bad.
She didn't have a stake in him. She was only wearing a robe.
Get the loofah.
There's a loofah in there somewhere. Broken the handle off of. Now, this scene brought me back, way back to Days of Our Lives. Jack was engaged with Kayla. And Kayla was sure that Patch was dead, but he wasn't dead. And when he came back, she was still engaged with Jack. And they got married, even though she should have told him that things were off, but she didn't. And he got impatient because they never had the bedding, you see, after the wedding. And Jack raped Kayla.
Bedding after the wedding.
And basically, we're in a situation where this is his... Jack Devereaux moment. Folks, I had to do more research for any of this. That show. All right. I used to set my VCR was programmed every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. And then I discovered another world that it was 1 to 3 p.m. And I would rush home and my homework would already be done. And 2 hours of soaps every day. So don't you tell me this isn't his Jack Devereaux moment.
Okay, here. Oh, I found it. Marster said that he'll never do such a scene again. He would later say in 2012 that he understood the idea to have come from a female writer who had a situation in her life where she was and her boyfriend were breaking up, and she decided if she just made love to him one more time that they wouldn't break up. She ended up trying to force herself on him and decided to write about it. The thing is, if you flip it and make it a man forcing himself on a woman, I believe it becomes a whole different thing. I'm not really sure it expressed what the author was intending. Mm-hmm. And on that score, it was not successful.
Mm-hmm. Because it just brought me back to Warren being a douche, raping that other girl. And I thought we were going to have another theme of, like, more rapes going on Buffy. Yeah. And I was like, we don't need this, because he was being evil and acting all like a complete asshole at the Bronze. Mm-hmm. I was like, we don't need to see him doing this to women anymore.
Yeah.
So this season would be the rape season of Buffy. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, attempted
rape. You know, and again, as much as it's a disgusting topic, it's good to show the strong females standing up for themselves and being like, no. Anyways, yes.
But he agrees. And he's the son of a bitch. Yeah, so this rape scene or attempted rape scene was definitely crazy. I was turned off.
I was watching it thinking like Kim said, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, this is strange. Is he just trying to get, I didn't want to believe what was going on. What's going on? There was a lot of denial at that moment too. Cause I'm like, is he just trying to get her calmed down? And she's freaking out. But then I remembered, I'm like, but they used to have rough sex, whatever. But I'm like, this is crackers. I'm like, I cannot believe that this is happening right now.
And I kind of touched on it in my email, which I hope you won't read, but there was, in the middle of the scene, there was a commercial break.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which was the worst placed commercial break in the history of TV.
Yeah.
It was horrible to come back from, like, you know, hey, buy our hamburgers to...
More rape. Oh my god.
This is Red Cut. Several scenes from Seeing Red were cut out during its first airing on the BBC in the UK. The attempted rape of Buffy was cut from where she falls and hits her back on the shower to where she finally kicks him away. The exit wound appearing on Tara's chest and her blood being splattered on Willow's shirt was also cut.
That was
restarted
awesome.
From where Tara says your shirt. Warren snaps a demon's neck, but the scenes were changed so that only the sound effect was heard.
The BBC did that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't know. It was very awkward. I was very confused and I was like, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So it sets Spike on a path to go do something. What do y'all think he's going to do?
I don't know.
Well,
maybe find a way to get that chip out.
And I'll remember what I thought when I first watched it, which was I thought he was going to go run to Drusilla.
Mm. I remember thinking that too, I think.
Really?
Something like that, yeah. Something like that.
I actually guessed, I won't say if any of you are right or wrong, but I actually guessed the right path too.
Mm. I think he's going to find a way to get that chip out of his head.
Hmm.
Because it's really messed him up. He just wants to go back to being straightforward evil.
He just seems just desperate. That's the only word that I can think of when it comes to him.
Mm-hmm.
Just straight up desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice at the end of this episode, and it's only occurred to me for the first time right now, is Buffy's got no one left in her life right now who's strong.
Like physically strong, mentally strong.
Mentally strong, emotionally strong, physically strong. Like Tara was the adult for the season because Giles left. So Giles is gone. Tara's gone. And Tara's the only one that Buffy actually opened up to. Spike's gone, who is her.
Oh no, does this mean she's going to have to turn to Dawn?
Ugh.
Oh God.
No!
Hmm.
Ugh.
No, thank you.
I quit.
No, not quite. Not quite.
Oh, the scene at the end with the armored car that's filmed at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Theme park in California. The banner at the amusement park, which reads opening weekend, is the same font and color as the Once More With Feeling logo.
That's lazy of them.
Buffy and Xander had a nice moment before the shooting.
Yeah, fuck him. I'm sorry, I will never, never forgive that son of a bitch. Ever.
I bet you will.
I bet I won't.
I bet you will.
I bet I will. I want horrible things to happen to him. Or...
You hated Joyce, you hated Cordelia. You forgave them.
No, I didn't hate Joyce. I just thought she was the worst mother ever.
I hated Joyce.
You know, hey, she's, you know, a single mom, doing her single mom
thing.
She's
the worst.
Oh, too soon.
But yeah, about Xander, they had where she went to see Xander at his apartment, and he's still kind of mad at her. And then at the end, where he comes to see her and apologize, you know, she said, warned by himself that the other two were arrested.
Stop it.
And he says, oh, well, he won't make it too far without his friends, saying that, you know, he needs his friends back in his life. That was sweet.
Oh.
What else?
The trio with only two jetpacks. Hello.
And what?
So, yeah, Jonathan's going to be left in the lurch. Andrew doesn't know how to fly his jetpack. Hits his head. They get arrested. It looks like they're going to get their comeuppance. You know, Buffy was actually able to defeat Warren because Jonathan's help. Jonathan on top of Buffy pretending to try to beat her up and holding on for dear life.
That was a great
moment. Telling her, you know, that she has to hit him in the orbs. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
That was a great moment. I had a feeling that Warren was going to do something to separate himself from the two. I didn't think that Andrew had a jetpack as well. But when they were fighting, I was like, what's on his back? Because there's this big hump thing underneath that jacket. And by the way, that jacket was like the uniform of every guy I knew. The black bomber jacket with the orange lining inside. Every guy I knew had that jacket. Anyways, but I think it sucks that they would isolate them, or that they'd want to get rid of Jonathan. Like he even calls him, like he refers to himself as the trio. Like he refers to the three of them, and he's like, why would you want to get rid of one of them? Anyways, I don't know.
Because he couldn't cut it, man. He was weak.
They were concerned that he was going to go to the cops.
Mm.
Or to Buffy.
He was feeling like remorse and shit, man.
Yeah.
Can't
he had a conscience.
That.
Morals. Yeah. He's weak because he has those things.
Mercy is for the weak.
But how much did you laugh out loud when Andrew hit his head?
That was fantastic. That was one of the greatest things ever.
Yeah.
Are we ready to...
Who the hell brings a gun?
Oh, it's got to be something. You know, I mean, if you have guns in this world, you're... Buffy is just powerless against a gun, so that's why they're not...
I think this is cheating. This is bullshit lazy writing.
I went berserk when I saw that gun. because again, it happened. I watched this episode after the shooting in Seattle, and after what happened here in Ottawa. So I was, I went nuts about guns and how much I hate them, and how, like, what, how is it so readily available? You know,
because it's our constitutional right.
Yeah, that's when you guys had muskets and two people to control the gun and operate them, not these automatic things that can take out entire. Anyways, that's another story for another day.
Well, let me tell you, if 25-year-olds blown to bits won't do it, then I don't know.
I totally agree. And I was like, 4-year-olds blown to bits. What a coward. What a cowardly thing to do. Like, he was actually, you know, doing the magic, getting this and that done. And then he goes, he could have got a gun in the very first place to get rid of the Slayer. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, nothing's working. I'm going to go get a gun. Like, fuck yourself, you piece of shit.
Well, it was kind of like with the Spike thing, it was kind of like desperation. He was desperate to get rid of Buffy before she hurt him.
Just horrible. And he wasn't like, he, again, I know for the story, but he's like shooting it sideways up in the air. He doesn't know what he's doing with his, with
really
his
cool
gun.
Cool that way though.
He's being like, gangster.
I killed the Slayer. It's like, he didn't do anything. He was shooting and running away at the same time. Like, it was horrible. Just horrible.
Which I thought was great writing rather than bad writing, because he's the most believable villain in the entire Buffyverse.
I agree. You know what? I agree, and I'll save my comments for the next episode, because there was a moment where I was like, he's really good at being bad. And that's all we'll say about that.
The more you know.
How about feedback? Are y'all ready for feedback?
Please. Let's get this episode rolling.
Rachel, you don't want us to read your email?
You can. I can't remember what I said. Is there any good points I haven't said?
All right, let's see what Rachel has to say. Spoiler cakes for Seeing Red. Got that? Good. Fuck. Or if Steph is reading this aloud, F word.
Let me tell y'all something. I was at the beach a few weeks ago, and there was a very elderly lady from up, because at the beach it was just us and the snowbirds, and a very elderly woman from up north was sitting behind me, and she was talking about it was hot as hell. And I was thinking, I know that lady is not from the South, because an elderly lady would not say that out, you know, in public. She would not speak, you know, that's very not very ladylike. So, I am a Southern girl. Okay.
Back to Rachel's email. So this episode is where Buffy finally decides to take the trio semi-seriously. Tara and Willow finally have some in-screen. Someone's microphone is rubbing and it's disturbing me. I can't work under these conditions. Your microphone is rubbing. Please stop. Thank you. I'm being very diva now. Thanks. All right. So this episode is where Buffy finally decides to take the trio semi-seriously. Tara and Willow finally have some in-screen sexy times. Xander makes some amends. And everything is happy and good. And what the fuck, Warren? The your shirt line overshadows the fantastic Tara words from Entropy. Poor Tara. You were finally a cool three-dimensional character, and now you're a Joyce-like corpse. For now, apparently. And Illyria, you seem like a science-minded kind of guy. Try trace that magic bullet. It goes up at least 45, 55 degree angle, hits the bedroom window, and dives down to 90 degree angle to hit Tara. Not in the head, but in the back. Does he know much? Warren, you broke the Buffyverse rules. No guns, okay? I wonder if Buffy is starting to regret her choice from normal again. The sanitarium is feeling pretty good right about now, eh? Willow looks a little pissed. 10 out of 10 bloody shirts.
That's a good letter.
Bob DeGrand writes, "Hi, Gax and guests. Well, Alira finally got his wish. Tara's death should have been obvious to any Joss Whedon fan as soon as she and Willow reconciled."
Yep.
Anya talking about her own problems while the scorned woman was trying to wish vengeance on her boyfriend was hilarious. I love that it's... Sorry. I love that it's still Warren and Jonathan and that other guy, the running joke. I like this episode, but there's a lot of effort because of the attempted rape scene in Tara's death. In a season full of character assassination of the main characters, Spike trying to rape Buffy is just the latest example. The actors playing Warren and Tara dated for quite a while in real life. What?
Who dated in real life?
Which fans were not happy about. Oh, I thought
they were still together. What? They're not still together. Tara.
No.
Who dated in real life? Sorry, I missed that. Hello?
Warren and Tara.
I think I lost you guys.
No, we can hear you. Can
oh,
you hear
okay.
me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Or is the delay like 5 minutes long now?
No, we're good.
This delay is the worst. I don't know why it's happening. Ooh, Moira sent his audio feedback.
Woo! Let's
play it. It's loading.
Holler.
I just finished watching Seeing Red. Wow. I was thinking this was a bit of a setup episode. I mean, we got rid of 2 out of the 3 amigos. And we had Spike be a complete ass. And I was thinking it was all just a setup for whatever was going to come next. I did not see that coming at the end. Oh my God. So, wow. We've been thinking Willow is going to go bad. Willow is going to kill Warren. Wow, this was really good. Okay, I'm still stunned. 9 out of 10. Endangered nerds. I need to collect my thoughts. Anyway, till next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Moira.
Bye.
Now, Moira actually sent us another voicemail. So that one was October 3rd. And she sent us another one this Saturday. Let's see.
Yay.
Maybe she forgot she sent it in. Let's see. Maybe the exact same thing? Let's see. I haven't vetted this.
Shh. Go away.
Holy crap. I just finished watching.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Oh.
There we go. I thought maybe it was like more insight.
Maybe it cool. continues. Thanks, but I just watched Seeing Red again. And I still don't know what to make of it.
Yeah. Bruce writes, Don's part usually gets overlooked in discussions about this episode. Unfortunately, when Dalton tells Spike that Buffy's feelings were hurt because he had sex with Anya, what Spike hears is that Buffy still has feelings for him and he needs to go make it right. Half an act later, Buffy and Spike are playing out the same old drama, from his perspective, that they did in Smashed, Wrecked, Gone, Dummy Palace, etc., etc. Only after a well-placed kick backs Spike up a bit does he realize that Buffy's tears and her anguish are real. Just in the last couple of days, he hurt her by being with Anya. Then he hurt her by telling Xander about the relationship. Now he's hurt her again because he just doesn't get what Buffy needs, or importantly, Spike doesn't know what's right. Between Willow using magic on Tara, Warren using technology on Trina, Spike's season-long manipulation of emotionally vacant Buffy, Spike is the only one with any kind of excuse, but it was still wrong. Buffy understands her own role in Spike's actions, so she doesn't want vengeance against him. She just wants to move on. Now, though, she has to face the consequences of both her actions and her inactions from the first 2/3 of the season. Dealing with Dawn's abandonment issue seems relatively simple compared to assorted ramifications from a secret months-long relationship with Spike. I liked Tara. Bruce. Sad face. Thank you, Bruce.
It's a fine line that scene between
Missy's.
Go ahead, Kim. Yeah, sorry, please. Delay. I think it's a fine line that scene in the washroom or in the bathroom, I should say, because I don't want to sound like I'm taking a side here at all. But I don't think we should call it a rape scene, because I don't think that that was the intention going in at all, because of the precedent that was set before with the two of them and their rough sex. It wasn't until she kicked him so hard and then was like, seriously, fuck off, is that that's when he got the hit. Like, I don't think he would have intentionally hurt her in a malicious way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you and totally see where you're coming. I think that's where I was so confused.
Yeah.
Even the words that he used and the look on his face, it wasn't, up to that point, it wasn't angry. It was desperate. It was desperate trying to hold on and trying to get her to understand what he thought was going on. There was that going on. And then he flipped the script and then now he's butthurt about it.
Yeah. And it was like lustful. He's like, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, I got that. And that's what made me feel like, oh, this is the most, like the scene just made my skin crawl. And I was like, that was horrible. That was disgusting. So I don't know. Again, because people are calling it like the rape scene. And I don't think he meant to, you know, and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm saying the language that I've heard so many years throughout class. I'm like, well, he didn't mean to do it, but it's just like, I'm like, oh God, like I'm torn, you know. But it's a difficult scene to talk about. And after it happened, I was just like, okay, shit, what's going to happen when the two of them face each other again the next time? How awkward is this moment going to be? Anyways, let's move on. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I see your point. I see your point. Missy writes, it's wishes coming true all round for Gex. I guess this episode can be broken down into three parts. Warren just goes insane in this episode. Guy gets his hands on some orbs and all hell breaks loose. Tries to pick up girls, rob a bank, and kill multiple people. There are jetpacks, guns, and disappointment from his potentially former geek buddies. I say potentially because they seem really angry at the end of the episode. Jonathan steps out on his own and helps Buffy with Warren's Mighty Mouse abilities. Mm-hmm. And Andrew is just confused about why he was left behind and how could he not love a hang out with him. Part two, bikes. Spike really loses his mind here. It begins with an innocent conversation with Dawn about the events of the previous night and quickly escalates into an attempted rape and ramblings about the chip holding him back and his eventual exit from Sunnydale. As much as I despise the attempted rape, it makes sense for Spike to go there, considering the twisted relationship he entered into with Buffy. What I always notice is that he immediately tries to apologize for hurting Buffy. I mean, he gets cut off by her brilliant line about stopping him, but still, his immediate reaction to what he did is to say sorry. I don't know. It certainly doesn't excuse anything, but I think it's very telling about his current state of mind and who he really is inside, which is still that messed up poet who has issues with women. Mm-hmm. Part three, Tara. Tara, oh my God, her story arc alone in this episode is just, I don't have the words. She wakes up happy, back with Willow, and ready to fight the bad guys. She's just so happy to be with her family again. It makes me sad. Mm. All those intimate moments with Willow, I just cry in her joy at Buffy and Xander communicating again, only to be taken down by a stray bullet in an instant. No warning, no goodbyes, no happy ending. Just bam!
Gun bad.
Her last words of concern and confusion over the sudden appearance of blood on Willow's white lacy blouse. So, this episode ends with Buffy being shot, Warren getting away, the two remaining trio members in jail, Tara dying, Spike leaving town, and Willow seeing red.
Yeah!
Shows in Gak, of a ride. And the few little things I adore, Amber Benson finally being in the opening credits, Dawn being giddy over Willow and Tara getting back together, Anya's rant about the end of her and Xander's relationship to that silly drunk girl, Xander talking about being on a hook, Clem and sage advice, I hearts Clem from Simone.
Aww.
Yeah, there was, Xander was talking about, like, he was, like, going on about this, like, fish metaphor, but it reminded you of, Go Fish.
What?
When he's in the bar and the girl is talking.
Oh, I know, but what do you mean, Go Fish? That's what I meant.
Like, it reminded you of the episode Go Fish where he joined the swim team and the swim team turned into fish. Or it did me, didn't it?
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah, when they were in high school.
Again, language with this attempted rape scene. I don't think he went in with the purpose of raping her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I would agree.
It irks me.
She was saying no, and he had to be physically removed.
I know. It just irks me so much because it's such an uncomfortable topic. And
he was not in control. He wanted control of the situation, and she was fighting him.
I know, but chip or no chip, I don't, because he loves her, I don't feel he would have,
it's not good.
It's awkward.
Danger. A lot of people don't go into planning to rape somebody.
I know, it's so awkward and so discomforting, and I'm just like, oh. Okay, let's another letter, please.
Where are we?
It is a whole other topic. It's the most debated subject in the entire Buffyverse. Yeah.
I can just imagine what it was like to watch this. What was it, 15 years ago? However long ago? No, it wasn't that long ago.
12, 13, yes.
It was in 02.
See,
12 years ago.
I know for me, I think what's kind of, well, besides the whole thing, I'm like, people still love him so much that I'm thinking, I don't know, that I'm like, there has to be continued redeeming qualities for fans to still heart him so much.
And people love Tara. You don't love Tara.
I fucking hate Tara. Oh, but she's dead now, so whatever. but I feel like if it was like, I mean, I know people like to like the bad guy, but I don't know. I feel like something like this would automatically turn everybody off, and everybody would absolutely hate him, and no one would want to see him and acknowledge his presence. But I'm like, oh, well, he's a lovable guy, I guess. I'm like, maybe things turn around. Maybe other people didn't think that whatever happened. But I don't know. I'm so torn. I'm so fucking torn when it comes to him now.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't, but you always thought he was disgusting, so.
No, of course, but for people to love him so much, there has to be something to, you know, after what happened? Come on.
I mean, that's an unforgivable thing when something like that happens on any other TV show. People lose their shit, and like, no. He's all over the place, so I don't. I mean, I can't hate him, and I'm not done with him like I'm done with Xander, but I'm still confused and conflicted, and I just don't understand. I don't understand.
Well, there's still a couple of more episodes. another season. Next letter. L's audio feedback.
Oh, yeah, I will play his audio. Hopefully we can hear it. Loading.
I almost forgot to do this. It's 1:15 a.m. and I've got work running. But seeing red, this is where a lot of people started seeing a pattern. And I'm not talking about the red pattern on Willow's shirt. I'm, of course, talking about how happiness or even the promise thereof is often a harbinger of death. in the Buffyverse. Of course, some of you GAC persons probably want a particular death for at least two reasons I can think of. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about Spike. It's probably time for an update on that mess since I went on a rant about his arc so far a while back. So, quick recap. William was a poet. What's a poet? A person who can convert emotions into ideas, something like that. Anyway, he died, and a monster inhabited his brain, inheriting his memories and aspects of his personality. This demon went on to fall in love, or his twisted idea of what love is, and kill lots of people the way monsters do, until one day, an inhibitor chip was put in the brain he was inhabiting. He could no longer act out the instinct of the monster he was, so he had to find something else to do, something else to be. Slowly, he started adopting the ways of the former resident, the poet. He fell again in love, or his twisted idea thereof, even tried a hero or a sex toy, something, anything. But today, he discovered that he is still a monster. That is all he ever was, and as much as he has tried to convince himself otherwise, all he still is. Where does he go from here? Will he embrace his monstrous nature and give in? Can he even do that with the chip still in there and with all he's gone through? Is there even anything left for him to do, to be or not to be? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of sorry. Wrong, William. So, what else is there? Dawn was in this episode. She was excited about something there for a moment, which is a change of pace for her. She's often upset, not so much excited, but, you know, she got to be excited there for a moment, and then somebody died. But yeah. Oh, well. This is Vincent D.L. signing off. Have a tasteful tuna.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I will read the bat's email. You want me to read the bat's email?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes,
seeing red, the attempted rape scene. Like most people, I hate this scene. Disappointingly, some refer to it as when Spike raped Buffy, even though no rape occurred. Rough play was a feature of Spike and Buffy's consensual sexual relationship, which she initiated. In this scene, once the admittedly dense, obsessed, and misguided Spike realizes no means no, he is horrified at his behavior and driven to deep self-examination. But does anyone remember that Xander once tried to rape Buffy for real? It was in The Pack, Season 1, Episode 6, when he was possessed by Hain, a demon. Afterwards, he feigned amnesia. If we let Xander off the hook on account of diminished responsibility due to demon possession, we must do the same for Spike. I'm not buying Buffy's...
Horrid logic!
I'm not buying Buffy's exaggerated weakness in this scene either. We know she's a damn strong woman. To paraphrase her epitaph, she saves the world a lot. The writers obviously needed a plot device, but this scene was a terrible choice. Yours, Lindy in London. Yeah.
She broke her rib on a tombstone, and she broke the other ribs when he smashed her against the side of the tub. Right?
And Xander was possessed by a wild animal. Spike was Spike.
Like, I think that's why she was weakened, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so if she had her full strength, she would kick him into the next room. Anyways, I don't know. Right? Yeah.
Plus, I think she was shocked. I think she was truly shocked by what was happening. And it does make you less able to rationalize and fight.
Kate had written an email that combined entropy and seeing red feedback, so I decided to wait until today. So, hey guys, thought I would email you some thoughts on these episodes. Sure, you've got a lot to read through, so I'll keep it down to five simple thoughts, some of which I already said on Facebook. One, if there's ever another time to be pissed at Xander, it's the way he reacts to the Spike Anya situation. We know he's hurt, but she is right. She does not owe him anything, not even an explanation. And the way that Xander was more offended than that Buffy slept with Spike than his own ex-fiance?
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. No dice.
The Buffyverse. Sorry. Two, the use of guns in the Buffyverse could probably be a thesis paper. I remember my boyfriend wondering why Faith just didn't get a sniper rifle or Buffy a Glock and get their feud with in the third season. Mm-hmm. And he brought it up again when Warren shot Buffy. Wow, that was easy. Did any Gax think the same at the time? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just assumed guns just wouldn't play a part.
Guns are the cheap way out. Mm. And they should... Anyone who brings a gun to, like...
To a knife.
I was gonna say, brings a gun to a fist fight, that person should be taken out in the most gruesome way. Like...
I wonder what'll happen next time.
I hate guns. I hate guns so much.
Yeah. Wasn't there a reference in the first episode of season 6 about guns not being good?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I remember something about that. But...
Point 3. Dawn, useless as usual.
Aww. Yeah, true.
Number 4. Despite the questionable laws of physics that require Tara to get shot in the heart, it is still completely shocking and horrifying. If you are not a Tara fan, it is still real rough to see Willow like that. Joss knows just the right ways to rip our hearts out, doesn't he? And number 5, the attempted rape is probably the most debated topic in the history of Buffy. I waffle back and forth on whether it was needed. I was in a similar situation like many women, so watching it is definitely hard for people. But Buffy and Spike's sexual relationship started when he was able to hurt her, and since then their relationship was always sexual and violent. Illyria was right in that there is no way that their affair could end well. It could only end explosively, and the way it ultimately ended was also sexual and violent. If nothing else, but for the sheer amount of oh shits uttered between these two episodes, I give them 8 out of 10 plot twists. Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
Voicemail from Paul Mackey.
Yay!
It's loading.
Yeah.
So, isn't the fact that his source is 2 balls and a pouch a bit too on the nose? Not I appear to have redoubled on time and given the whole thing this taint. Anyways, this is Paul Mackey in the freeze room, calling in for Seeing Red. Semi-witty joking aside, a fair bit of debate about the stark and brutal scene in the bathroom, and I won't try to represent all views, but tell how I see it. Spike and Buffy this season has pretty frequently played along blurred lines of consent. Spike, being without conscience or soul, got naughty thrills pushing those lines and clearly didn't care that it was all in a gray area. The lack of soul in no way excuses responsibility, but can't this be another time he felt okay pushing those lines, same as any other time? To his credit, afterwards, he at least seems to feel regret for what he did, if not actual guilt. Just what he'll do next? Well, I can't tell you that. I'm sure there's a few things you're wondering about. All I can say is that I'm more jealous of you finding out than you're jealous of me already knowing. This is Paul Mackey in the freezer room, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think. Happy hunting.
Thanks, Paul.
Great.
That was nice. All right. A couple more emails. Let's say Ray. I'm not really sure where to start with this feedback. I think overall it's a very good episode and really sets the table for these final 3 episodes of the season. I like little things like Dawn's conversation with Spike and Clem just being Clem. It also really moves the plot of the trio ahead quite a bit by having Warren decide to turn on Jonathan and then Jonathan eventually helping Buffy, with the end result being that Jonathan and Andrew get arrested. But I think the 2 main things that come out of this episode are Spike's almost rape of Buffy in the bathroom and Tara's death at the end. I'm sure you will get a lot of feedback as these are big topics amongst Buffy fans.
Uh-huh.
For me, I kind of wish that they wouldn't have had Spike go so far. Yes. I get that they were trying to show how obsessed he has become with Buffy, but if you are a fan of the Buffy-Spike pairing, then this kind of pushes it over the edge to something that really can't be recovered from. And it really destroys a lot of the goodwill that the Spike character has built up the last couple of seasons. See, that's my point, right? That's exactly what I felt. I'm like, You know what? Building up Spike to be kind of part of the Scoobies and stuff, and then this happens, I'm just totally turned off. Absolutely. Back to the... Now on to Tara's death. This absolutely shocked me the first time I saw it. It seems like most of the newbies were expecting Tara to be killed at some point, but I didn't see it coming at all. I also thought it was shocking to see a gun in the show in general, because there's something that the show has really shied away from. Mm-hmm. Because the show has been so reluctant to show guns in the past makes this even more impactful. Ray, you say impactful, I say cheap. Cheap ass, cheapity, cheap, 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 cheap. Cheap, cheap, cheapity.
For sure, and don't you think that the writers and creators have, you know, subliminally been giving us hints about that the entire time? So when we see a gun show up, we're like, oh my god, how could he? You know what I mean?
Weird, man. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird. Back to the email. Uh-huh. I've been wanting to defend the Tara character for a while now, but I figured that I would wait until this episode to kind of explain my thoughts on Tara as a whole. By the way, he wrote W-H-O-L-E.
Tara is a oh, my God.
Too soon. Too soon.
There's just no escaping it. I'm sorry, Ray. I apologize. To you, not to Tara. Because she's fictional. Tara isn't one of my favorite characters on the show, but I do appreciate her for a lot of different reasons. In my opinion, Tara is the best person out of any of the Scoobies. She is genuine and always seems to actually care about people. You can actually make the case that all of the other Scoobies are actually kind of jerks in a lot of ways. Tara was kind of the only truly good person in this Buffy world. When bad things happen to the other members of the Scoobies, it's because they bring it upon themselves. Xander being a jerk to Anya and leaving her at the altar and other things resulted in the pain he feels. Dawn being a klepto and general whiny brat. Buffy hooking up with Spike even though she knows it's wrong. Willow and her addiction to magic, etc. They bring the pain onto themselves by being selfish and dumb. But when bad things have happened to Tara in the series, it's not something that she brings upon herself like the other Scoobies, with the exception of family in season 5. But Glory wiping her brain and now her being shot. We're both just wrong place, wrong type of things. Wrong time type of things. She doesn't deserve to have these bad things happen to her like the others do. And that is why this has more impact for me than, say, what Xander brought upon himself or Willow hitting rock bottom from magic addiction. So while Tara was never the greatest or most interesting character on the show, she was the most genuine and least selfish and general best person. I thought her relationship with Willow was very sweet while it lasted, and she brought something to the show that none of the other Scoobies did. And for just the sheer tragedy of how accidental her death ended up being, really gave it a lot of weight. Well said, Ray.
Very well said.
Well said. Someone read Ian's email, please.
Oh, I don't have it open. Hold on.
Ian looks a lot like Ed Helms.
Did you mute everyone's mics?
Nope.
No, I'm sorry. I just totally zoned out. I've had a really long day.
I muted mine because my husband came in. I didn't know what he was going to say.
Was he going to tell us that Tara died?
Yes. Buffy died.
Again?
Where are Steph, we?
Steph, are you good to read Ian's email?
Ian. Ian, okay. Hi, great guest and Gax. Here are my thoughts on Seeing Red. Most of this episode is misdirect and build up for what happens in the last 15 minutes. Spike abuses... No, that's not what that says. Spike's abuse of Buffy and its immediate fallout is a disturbing and something that shocked me the first time I saw it. The simplest way to read this is that as Xander keeps on saying he is soulless and evil, I think that's a too easy get out. To understand my position on Spike, I'd like to set out a theory on all vampires. Vampires are not soulless. They have a soul. The soul they have, though, is a demonic soul that crawled its way out of a hell dimension where it has been for thousands, if not millions of years. Given all we have seen of both Buffy and so far an Angel, not all demons are bad. However, given the state Angel was in when he came back from a hell dimension, they aren't nice places. Sector 5 in such a place would force its occupants to do terrible things. As a vampire, then all the soul knows by this point is evil acts, even if it wasn't like that originally. Given that, how does it relate to Spike? Well, having the chip in place gives him an opportunity to explore other ways of relating to the world and people, humans and demons both. It's not like a light switch, but he can slowly change his ways. But when he is presented with his conflicted feelings for Buffy, a chip that does not work in relation to her, and rejection, he reverts to ways that have worked for eons.
Mm-hmm.
The look he gives Buffy after he attempts to, well, rape her, seems to be a mixture of shock, horror, and revolution at his actions. Almost an out-of-body experience. I don't think he would have been able to have that were it not for the chip and his new way of reacting to the world the past few years. The question now is, though, what happens after that experience has sunk in? Which way will he go? Can he move forward and attempt to become more than what he has been, or will he revert to what he knows works? As for Warren's actions, what results will they bring? Thanks for bearing with me on this one. With thanks, Ian. Ian!
Thank you, Ian. All right. I'm going to read Ashley's email, and then we have one last Google voice. Ashley writes, "Hi, Gax and guest!
Hey!
This was quite the episode, yeah? I won't send a super long of feedback this time. Tara's finally in the opening credits. Damn you, Joss Whedon. Awesome booby trap by the trio. Oh, yeah, we forgot about the booby trap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a pretty good booby trap.
It was very Anya's Wile E. Coyote.
Still too good to get any work done. Pardon?
It was very Wile E. Coyote.
It was.
Meet, meet.
Anya's still too bitter and hurt to get any work done. Many fans don't like that they made Spike try to rape Buffy and felt that it was too far. Although I don't like watching the scene, I think the writers made a smart move by doing it, in my opinion. Spike hasn't been a real threat for the past few seasons, and over that time, people began to want Buffy and Spike together, almost as if both characters and fans seem to have forgotten that Spike is still a monster with a leash. So to me, it was like the writers were sending us a reminder of what he is. I wasn't too fond of the writer skipping out on Buffy's emotional pain about it, though, as opposed to dwelling on Spike's. Buffy was the victim. Warren is the worst. He's not even liverwurst. Sick, nauseating, disgusting form of human being he is. Luckily, Jonathan was there to help Buffy. Andrew is a complete moron. I really appreciate Xander and Buffy actually talking things out. The Scoobies never talk about things and just sweep things under the rug. Even though it's not the easiest conversation to have, it was a conversation needed from both of them. Dawn is the biggest Willow / Tara shipper of all. Also, yay for makeup sex. But there was that giant red shirt in the form of silk sheets. Oh, yeah! The silk sheets were red! Oh, no! Getting Joss absolutely sucks. If only they just kept on having makeup sex a little longer, then she wouldn't have gotten shot. I know. The problem was that they put clothes on. Right, guys?
That's sure. Always the problem.
That's my personal theory. Everything is downhill as soon as you end up not being naked. That's my theory. Getting Joss absolutely sucks. If only they just kept on having makeup sex a little longer, she wouldn't have gotten shot. I think the blue shirt that Tara is wearing when she was shot was the same shirt Willow kept looking for with Tara in the body.
Aww.
Tara was such an amazing, kind-hearted main on the show. I had planned on sending audio feedback for months, but never did, mainly because I just wanted to sing the intro to You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi in honor of my beloved Tara. Fail on my behalf. I had watched Buffy when it originally aired, and let me tell you, seeing Tara get shot like that at 7 years old, yeah, not so fun. Tara's been shot. Buffy's been shot. Willow looks pissed. I'm sure I'm missing other things, but anyways, great episode. I give it 8.5 out of 10 stray bullets.
So when...
Thank you, Ashley.
When the shots happen and then Willow summoned whoever to bring Tara back.
Osiris.
Oh, that's the next episode. Next episode, you're getting...
Sorry. Cut that out.
Next episode, Willow's holding Tara and she looks up and her eyes are red and that's it.
Cut that out, sorry.
That was so sad.
It's too late. It's out on the internet. All right. We're ready for the last piece of feedback?
Yes.
There
we go. Let's get this rolling. Someone's got to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Go to bed. We're doing another episode.
I know. That's why I'm
like, this is Brent the ball rolling. Leaving some thoughts on seeing red. First thing, when Warren grabbed those balls, he got super excited. Xander's middle name is Judgy McJudgerson. Xander's part fish and easily could have hit that. No means no, Spike, except when I'm yearning for some vampire D. Andrew's drink looks delightful. Buffy, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Buffy, it's not your fault. Well, it's your fault a little. Oh, Xander and Buffy make up. Everything's going to be all right. Friends forever. Always will be friends. Zack Attack is the best.
Zack Attack! My favorite!
No, I think Buffy was asking to get raped. I mean, the way she dresses, this isn't a nightclub. Now, you know why everyone calls Tara Stray Bullet? There's a lesson for all you ladies out there. Become a lesbian, and you'll get shot by a nerd trying to kill a vampire slayer. Are you sure that was Warren that shot Tara, or a robot built by Gabby? There's a real opportunity here. This could have been a who shot JR moment, or who shot Mr. Burns if you're not in your 80s. I would have went with Dawn. Teenagers are the worst. She can't be dead. I know there's a gaping hole in her chest that you can see through, but she's going to be okay, right? 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 This has been Brent. Have a good one.
Oh my god.
Thank you, Brent.
Great call. Some more audio
feedback. How did he know I was getting into robotics?
Great call.
Thanks for all your feedback, everyone. We really appreciate it. Been lovely. Now that Tara's dead, I can finally let everyone know I'm leaving the podcast. I'm going to be doing a new intro cast very soon. You'll find out about it. So until next time, bye-bye.
What?
One of those things is false. I'm still on the show. I might be doing a new intro cast soon.
Ooh.
For what show?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, all right.
Okay, Secret Keeper.
The keeper of secrets am I. Thanks for feedback. Hey, do we have any more points or do we want to rate this son of a bitch?
Let's rate this batch. Let's rate it and do our quotes and put this to bed.
Put this baby to bed.
Because honestly, I could go on forever about this episode, but let's get going.
Well, go ahead, Keel.
I'm very torn with this episode because, again, not only I watched this episode yesterday, so Sunday, and I'm within hours of this episode ending, there was a big story that hit Canada about rough sex as well. And I was like, it was on my mind the entire day about Spike and Buffy. I'm just like, oh, this is so polarizing because they used to do this before, but then now it's just they've totally turned the tables and this is just so, it's gone so completely wrong. And then again, the news story hit about something that's very similar here. So it's just, honestly, it's all I have been thinking and talking about with people in my real life. And I was just like, it's turning my head in, you know? And it's just, that part of it was just like, ugh, you know? The ending, completely blindsided. Like, I knew, again, like I said earlier, that I was spoiled with
Tara's death. I didn't know when or how it was going to happen. Did not expect it in the last, 2 seconds of this episode? No. I was like, and then when it did happen, I'm like, you can't end it like that. You can't do that. Anyways, I enjoyed this episode, again, because it really made you think, and because of the giant twist at the end, and when Andrew hit his head trying to take off his jetpack, made me laugh so hard. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 Bloodkas, which is blood and vodka mixed together. You're welcome.
Very nice. Rachel.
Yes, I agree. It's a polarizing episode. I hate watching it. I love watching it. It's definitely one of those episodes you can't forget about. And in summary, I give it 10 out of 10 indestructible jetpacks.
Gabby?
I have mixed feelings for obvious reasons.
No.
I can't believe how happy I am that Tara's finally dead. I feel like that makes me a horrible person. But
it does.
Whatever.
It does.
Well, I never cared for her, and that pretty much, in my mind, solidifies my opinion that Tara has all this time just been a tool. A tool to turn Willow the evil. Mm-hmm. So yay for me. But the whole Spike thing was so just messed up, and I still don't know what to make of it. And but then there was the bronze, and and no matter what, I still, the trio, I just zone out with those idiots, and I know they're more important than I think they are, and they're moving stuff in the certain direction. Also tools to make Willow go the evil. So I don't know. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 comically large saw blades.
No. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. We talked about that briefly.
I am going to utter the following words.
Mm-hmm.
Tara is finally dead. I'm not happy because I hate Tara. I'm thrilled because this will be the catalyst that I have been waiting for, that I've prophesized, that will get our Willow to be the most awesomely badass character, I predict.
Yes.
In the history of this show. I cannot wait for the next episode. I cannot wait. Spike's a douche. Xander's worse. And Buffy, have we mentioned that Buffy got shot and she might die? We didn't even mention that. Because we all, you know, it's, you know, she, you only die once, right? Remember the James Bond movie? All right. I'm going to get this episode 9.5. What am I kidding? 10 out of 10. Kick him in the nards. I mean, orbs.
You, somebody get a message.
Sorry, hockey starting.
Well, I think the thing about Warren having a gun and using a gun, Warren and the humans, they represent science and the natural world, and instead of the supernatural, and I love the scene at Magic Mountain with the armored car and the jetpacks and everything. I think that's hilarious. And I just think the rape scene, attempted rape scene, I just think it could have been, it should have been filmed differently. It was just too vicious. I don't know. It's just so unsettling and distasteful. It just doesn't fit in the series.
You know what's crazy? It totally overmines the spewing, woman-hating bullshit that Warren was saying. Like, if you remember that scene, it was like 10 minutes of him just being a total misogynistic bastard. And we forget about that because the Spike attempted rape was so much worse. Yeah, carry on.
So I give it 8 out of 10 sinister yet addictive card games.
I have one question. How high are the ceilings in Buffy's bathroom? I don't recall. Does she have vaulted ceilings just in the bathroom?
Yeah, they're like 15-foot ceilings.
I know. Like, wait a minute. Is this the first time we've ever seen her bathroom?
I believe
I think so.
No. Wait. No.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. I need the floor plan.
Well, that's what we thought. You can send us feedback via email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter at potentialcast. Check out potential.com for ridiculously sparse notes. And every single episode of the podcast, seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, are in their own feeds. Ooh, you can subscribe
really?
To them manually. Yes.
Wow.
Ooh.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. Yeah.
You can listen to what I used to care about people thought.
Facebook group is really where the fun's at. Facebook.com/group/potentialcast. I want to thank our guest Rachel, but before we say goodbye, it's time for quotey quote quotes, and Rachel is going to go first.
I can't do the I'm a leaf in the wind, can I? Okay, this is Clem. She's a sweet girl, Spike, but issues.
Next.
That was so hot. Sorry, I hate when people laugh at their own stuff.
Warren's the boss. He's Picard. You're Deanna Troi. Get used to the feeling, Vader's hide.
I can't wait to get my hands on his orbs.
Son of a bitch!
Anyone else?
Ask me again why I could never love you.
Aww.
Your shirt.
Aww. Somebody in a wind tunnel?
Someone's in the wind tunnel.
What is that whistle?
It's me. It's so windy here. And I've been like...
Is it because there's a mayoral election?
Yeah, the evil is being sucked out of the city right now. Awesome. And all the good is being...
Hey, clothes. And I'll get you some. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, okay. I editorialized that last bit. There was no vomiting on the show. But I vomited a little. Too schmaltzy. Hey, Steph, what are we doing next time?
Next time is villains.
I wonder who the bad guys are going to be.
I wonder if it's any good.
So where can people find you online if you want them to?
Who? Me?
You!
Sorry! I was distracted by the hockey. You can find me on Potential Cast. I'm around.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, YouTube, I'm going to stop the broadcast and play a song here, and then see you later. So, hi, everyone.
Peace out.
Bye.
Namaste.
Should know by the way you popped your car sideways at a wooden last. See, you're the kind of person who believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast. I guess I must be dumb. She had a pocket full of horses, Trojan and some of them used. But it was Saturday night. I guess that makes it alright. You see, what have I got to lose? I saw all the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me. Believe it or not, I started to worry. I wondered if I had enough class. But it was Saturday night.
You must be a leprosy.